Hello and welcome to your Divine Uniqueness show. If you'd like to listen to live episodes and interact with our speakers, you can go to yourdivineuniqueness.com. Your YOUR divine DIVINE uniqueness UNIQUENESS.com. Hello everyone, this is Monsef Afker, and thank you so much for being here with us on Your Divine Uniqueness. Very happy that Nora Harold is back on the show. She's been with us maybe last year, 1 year and a half ago. And today is the third time. And really I love the energy that she embodies, because really we felt it. She's very energetic, and we feel the power that she brings through that and through the message that she shares and channels through the Pleiadians and also other multidimensional beings. And what I love about it, it's authenticity, and that is real. We feel that this is something that really can relate. We can relate to it in our day-to-day life and implement it, so we understand things from multidimensional level, and also we can connect it to our 3D reality. So yeah, very very happy that she's back with us today, and we'll be talking about our creator technology and how to operate from joy. And like I've been following her since sometimes I really, and her message were really connected to this part of operating from joy, and really trying to embody that in the decisions we make, in how we perceive things, and how we relate to others, and how we create life in general. And really I feel it's really profound, her perspective about that, and very powerful. So very excited about what she will be sharing with us today. And before we start, I would love to share with you a little bit about her, for those of you who are not familiar with her. So she is a Pleiadian channel and incarnate guide. And back in the 1990, she picked up her first deck of tarot cards after a reader suggested to her that she might benefit from them. So she began reading friends and relatives as she deepened her connections and divination abilities. In 1996, she established conscious contact with the Pleiadians and her spirit guides, which triggered an awakening of her abilities and gave her access to her own records. She now channels a multitude of high vibrational beings, including the Pleiadian collective, that she called them the Pleiades, Yeshua, Kaliandra, and the Lyrans, Lemurians. Very excited to have you with us, Nora. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Yay! Hey, Monsef. Hey, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. Monsef, thank you for having me back. I always really look forward to sharing time and space and conversation and fun and play with you and your beautiful energy as I get to energetically transport myself to Morocco.
Welcome to Morocco.
Yep. When I do these sessions with you, it's really fun to do that. Yep, because I always get to grab just a piece of the experience of you as we're interacting, which is, you know, that's also how I work as well. It's interesting. I was listening to you, describe my bio there. About reading tarot and channeling and accessing my own records. And also, you know, part of my work is accessing the records of everyone that I interact with as well, right? So there's the channeling portion of that, right? There's the piece that seems to come from these beings outside of me. And then there's my own internal operating system, which I think we would tend to define here as psychic or intuitive, right? And there's a little bit of a difference between the two, channeling and then being psychic and intuitive. And then on some level, right, there's no freaking difference at all, because it's all just information and energy and sensation and experience, and we're sourcing that data in as many ways as we can. And yet, because we play in this third dimensional game here and get to have labels and separation, it's fun to kind of determine and discern which is which, right? It's also mm-hmm. kind of fun for me. What I've found to be fun is trying to discern, okay, well, was I being psychic, or was I in the process of running my manifestation technology when something comes to pass, right?
Yeah.
That I was plugging into. And on some level, again, like, who gives a crap? What's the difference? And also, it's interesting to kind of pick that apart.
Right. Exactly. At some point, it's like labels, they don't have this importance anymore. It's more about the experience. It's just feeling the experience, having it, and try to transfer this energy in any way you feel guided to. So it's
yeah.
not like having rules and definitions. Again, very, very happy that you're here with us, Nora. And as I said, so we'll be talking about operating from joy. And recently, as I said, you're sharing a lot about that in social media and your messages. So I would love, like, maybe if you, in the beginning, you gave us like maybe a short perspective about that, like from your point of view, what do you mean by it, and what's the message that you want to transmit through that?
Yes. Okay. I can already feel the Pleiadians linking up with me, so I'm
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to discern if this should just be just, in quotation marks, just Nora or Nora, right? Just. Oh, I'll just diminish my own light, right? Yeah. If this should be, I mean, and it's getting, you know, more and more challenging to for me to run any kind of separation, right? So even
right.
though I still go into direct voice channeling, anytime I open my mouth, which is a lot and often, so if you're in my life, you know that about me.
Yeah.
Anytime I open my mouth, the Pleiadian energy and vibration and frequency is present and coming
mm-hmm.
through, and that perspective is coming through as well. And so I'll talk a little, so I'll answer your question, like, what the hell is operate from joy, right? What does that mean, and,
yeah.
and how do we do that, right? But I'm also really becoming aware from my own perspective that, you know, I used to run more of a kind of a finely defined differentiation between my third dimensional perspective and my multidimensional perspective, right? So then, like, Nora was very separate from, and I mean, I'm just going back a few years here, right? I'm not talking about Nora at 10 years old or 20 years old or 30 years old. Now I'm telling you all how old I am at 52 now. You know, 10 years ago, right, I could feel a huge gap between, like, Nora in everyday life and then with running a third dimensional perspective, and then Nora accessing multidimensional information via the channeling process and accessing a fifth dimensional perspective and above, right? And there was this big gap, and I would jump back and forth between those perspectives and even in some ways personalities. Now it's much more of a blended experience for me. So I'm just kind of having this personal reflection as I'm on your program here, but I'm offering it as a reflection, of course, for all of you. You all are having the same experience as well, right? So it used to be you had to go kind of up and out and what seemed to be kind of far away to access higher dimensional information and energy and perspectives. And it often seemed like you had to go to another source to get that, right? You had to go mm-hmm. to a guide or a collective consciousness or another human who was channeling a guide or a collective consciousness or a book or something like that, right? Now, all of you tuning in here, whether you know yourself to consciously be accessing fifth dimensional perspectives or not, well, you are at all times. So that means we all are much more empowered and powerful here on planet Earth in each and every moment, which then enables us to more consciously operate from frequency and vibration as opposed to create and attract from emotion and reaction. So the Operate from Joy technology is basically this, right? We have still these two operating systems in our bodies. We have the emotional body fueling the third dimensional law of attraction manifestation experience. And then we have the energetic body fueling our creator technology, which offers us instantaneous manifestation, offers us creator abilities beyond that which we can simply attract in third dimensional space. Operate from Joy gives us the ability to activate the vibratory rate of joy or frequency of joy, however you want to, I use those terms interchangeably, right? Vibration and frequency. It gives us the ability to activate that vibration and frequency in our second chakras, setting that as our default vibration, our default frequency from which we then create. Now, that doesn't mean that we then don't still feel our shit, right? We still feel it, mm-hmm. all of it, yeah. all of our emotions, all of our trauma. In fact, it becomes even more essential to mm-hmm. feel everything we are experiencing emotionally. Because if we bury that stuff, right? If we bury the pain, the fear, the sorrow, the despair, the depression, the rage, the guilt, on and on. If we bury it and ignore it and repress it or try to spiritually bypass it, run technologies that take us completely up and out of our bodies. That's how I see spiritual bypassing, right? That's where you get high basically off of spiritual principles or spiritual technologies, which takes you up and out of your physical operating system, vacating it, right? So you have no control then, right? Once you land back in the body, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You're completely disoriented at that point, right? So mm-hmm. you feel it all. We feel it all the traumas, and love ourselves more in the process of feeling our way through this reality while at the same time being able to maintain the frequency and the vibration of joy in our fifth dimensional energetic bodies that are concurrently running with our third dimensional operating system here.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings. Yeah. This is the Pleiadian Collective. Sorry to cut you off there, Monsef. So Nora decided to take that one on her own, so to speak, right? Typically, she would just hand off to us in the answering of that question. So it was interesting for her to navigate her way through that without our full present assistance and help. And we don't feel like we really want to correct anything that she said, right? Because she laid it out perhaps not completely as concisely as we might have, right? And that's some of the difference still, right? We don't have to think about it at all before we give it to all of you, because multidimensional perspectives are ingrained into our consciousness, right? So for Nora, she still sometimes has to think just a little bit. She's got to work just a little bit harder to be able to give voice to multidimensional ideas, because she's still in the process of deactivating her third dimensional mental body and activating her fifth dimensional mental body. So you could hear that as she was giving that explanation. But for all of you who are tuning in, it's really this simple, right? Feel your stuff. Feel it all. Feel everything you have to feel within yourself, emotionally, physically, mentally, energetically, without judgment, and own it, claim it as yours, right? A big part of operating from joy is divorcing yourselves from the victim-perpetrator dynamic and program, right? So you can feel your pain without taking on the victim identity, right? So you feel it all without judgment, which then transmutes underlying traumas as you love yourselves more, enabling you to activate more and more of the frequency and vibration of joy in your second chakra. You start there with joy, but that joy can be activated then, that frequency or vibration of joy can be activated throughout your entire operating system, and that then becomes your default mechanism for manifestation in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So it's like when we say joy, it's not an emotion, it's a state of being, and that allows us to raise the frequency. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. It is a state of being. It is like understanding that love is not a feeling. Love is what you are, right? It mm-hmm. is what you are comprised of. It is what we are comprised of in this universe. So that's the differentiation between frequency, vibration, and feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And emotions. Emotions are physically dense. They operate along the third dimensional bandwidth and spectrum. You can only feel emotions in this universe while in third dimensional space. You cannot have an emotional experience as a fifth dimensional being and above. You can only operate from frequency and vibration at that point. You can try to approximate emotions as a fifth dimensional being, right? You might hear that sometimes when Kaliandra comes through Nora. She sounds very, like she has a rich emotional experience. Kaliandra doesn't actually have a rich emotional experience. She's able to replicate what emotions, what she thinks emotions might feel like from the vantage point of frequency and vibration. Sometimes you'll hear her that way as well, because Nora has a rich emotional experience. So she will lend that to Kaliandra or to us or anyone that she's bringing through, right? We don't mm-hmm. experience emotions as you do.
Right. So yeah, so what I understood, it's about like allowing the emotions, like feeling them, but being conscious through that. It's not letting them take over, but be there like without judgments, and allow, whether it's for our releasing like old energy, dense energy, or maybe sometimes we have, because we have all range of emotions, like happiness, and from happiness to sometimes sadness and anger. And through that, maybe you call it joy, state of being, and also being love. It allows all of those to happen at the same time while we are like seeing this is happening without judgment.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And from the emotional perspective, right? So if you're just really in your emotional experience, more often than not, what you tell yourselves is you're not choosing your emotions, but that your emotions happen to you or happen as a result of, as a reaction to something that is occurring in your reality. The truth of it is, more often than not in this reality still, because you're still mostly using your emotions, all of you, in law of attraction. You're starting to disconnect from that, and that really began to happen on the winter solstice of 2012 when your enslavement contracts expired, right? And you became mm-hmm. free and sovereign beings. At that point, you started to activate your fifth dimensional technologies in your bodies. And all of you have had experiences now where suddenly you have found yourselves being able to choose how it is you feel, no matter what the hell is happening around you, right? That used to be much more difficult prior to the end of 2012. It's much easier for you to do that now. And yet, it's still requiring a lot of your conscious attention to do that. It's very easy for you all still to kind of slip back on to the emotional roller coaster of the third dimensional experience. And look, we're not in any way saying that's wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's only been 6.5 years since the winter solstice of 2012, right? That's not a long time at all. And you're looking at eons of lifetimes here in the third dimension on the emotional roller coaster and being excited about getting on the emotional roller coaster, right? As we said, the third dimension is the only place in the universe where you get to experience emotion. Get to, right? Like yeah. It's a carnival. Yeah, it's so true. I think that's something, this is Nora here, right? That's something that we often discount, right? We often we feel our emotions sometimes are such a freaking burden here on this world, right? Because, I mean, they feel at times to us, we feel at times so out of control emotionally or can't feel it. And then look at the entertainment that we all go to, right? Our entertainment is highly emotional more often right. than not, right? We're such emotional junkies in this universe when we're in the third dimension because it's where we get to do it, right?
Right. It's like what you said earlier, like it's about allowing this human experience to happen through us. Not suppressing it, but like trying to experience it from a different point of view, from like when we embody our divinity, our multidimensional aspects, like it really allows us to use these emotions in a really different way. And we feel it with time, like the way that when something happened in our life, like we feel that more and more we are not really interested in those reactions. We still have some emotional reactions, but things are changing and we feel that it will not lead us anywhere. This is not the deepest experience that we can have, and we try to see it from a different perspective.
Yes, and it enables you to disconnect from creating high drama in your lives, right?
Right.
So there may still be a little bit of drama, right? A little bit.
Yes.
That's fine. But what you'll find more and more is there's no longer high, big drama. And we like to use the term high drama because from one perspective, that's what you were doing was getting high off of it, right? Even if the emotion you were feeling in that high drama was intense grief.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you think about an addict, right, using, you know, part of the addiction cycle is to be in that extreme suffering, right? That's part of getting high, is that extreme low. So it's just fast. It's fast. I have, like, I used to be, oh God, I had a lot of high drama in my life. Up through, I would say, my early 30s, right? Up right around the time I first established contact with my spirit guide. And even for the first, you know, few years at that point, as I was taking into my consciousness all of these ideas about being a creator, being understanding them theoretically, but not yet being able to apply them viscerally to my experience, right? I still had a lot of high freaking drama. And, you know, there's something about like lying on the floor, weeping and sobbing, and that feels good to us, right? It just especially when you get away from it, when you get far enough away from it and can reflect back on it and look at it and go, oh, look how much fun I was having there acting out, lying on the floor, weeping and sobbing, right? Because from this perspective, from the multidimensional perspective, I get to say, oh yeah, I was creating all of that and that was all an illusion on some level and also real, right? That's the 3D, 5D perspective. None of it's real. It's also real, right? Both is true. Both are true, right? You have to let both be true. You have to know that everything is real and at the same time, it's all made up. This is the Pleiadians. That's really essential, right? You want to honor what it is you're feeling in the moment while at the same time, remember, you're making it up as you go along because that offers you full freedom there, full freedom to feel any untransmuted trauma and the feelings associated with that trauma and clear that trauma And then that allows you to activate any vibration within your energetic field that you want. Joy, excitement, passion, confidence, freedom, on and on, right? All of these frequencies and vibrations that are available to your fifth dimensional operating system and that allow you then to create from that place. You know, mm-hmm. that creationary process that they're talking about here, right? There's not a lot of thought involved, which is also very different from the third dimensional way of goal setting and law of attraction and affirmations and big long lists, right? I'm sure yeah. all of you tuning in made your lists at some point, right? Especially yeah. when it comes to, here's my favorite lists are these, right? The one, right? I want to find the one, right? So you make a big long list of assets you want that other person to have, right?
Yeah.
Or a career, so you make a big long list that's like very detail oriented about the perfect career for you. And again, they're all very physically oriented, these details, right? And that was all really third dimensional. And in a lot of ways, that was very limiting.
Yes.
Because we don't create other humans. This is the Pleiadians. Yes, you have procreational technology on your world that you've used. But when it comes to having a relationship, right? A lot of you with those lists, you would focus on, and some of you are still doing this, so if you find yourself doing this, just have a little laugh about this right now, right? You focus on the attributes that you want this other person to have, meaning you're trying to create a person out of thin air right in front of you.
Right.
Instead of connecting with the feeling-based experience you want to be having while in the relationship, mm-hmm. while in this person's presence, and the energetic experience you want as well, right? So
mm-hmm.
what happens now as you begin to create from frequency and vibration is a disconnection from trying to physically identify and outline and create a physical blueprint on paper for the experience itself and the physical details, right? Instead, then you go right to the energetic. You say, I want to experience a vibratory rate of joy and beauty and passion and excitement and play and nurturing and safety, right? And access all of these frequencies and vibrations within your energetic structure. And then you just work within yourself on maintaining those vibrations, noticing how easy it is for you to vibrate at that level, noticing how difficult it might be at times for you to hold let's just talk about joy, right? So let's say that's why we like to use operate from joy, right? As kind of the foundation of all of this. It's if that's all you focused on, right? If that's the only frequency or vibration you said you were really going to put your attention on and connect with, that would pretty much cover everything for you. Because if you're able to maintain the frequency and vibratory rate of joy at all times, what you will continue to create are experiences and realities that support you maintaining the vibratory rate of joy, right? So you can get much more complex if you want and bring in a whole bunch of other vibrations and frequencies. And as you evolve here on planet Earth, you will do that, right? You'll move on from just focusing on joy and move on to anything you want from a vibratory rate. And you can start to play with that technology as well. But if you're really just beginning with this idea or even find yourself struggling here as a creator, go back to joy. Let joy be the foundation and the one thing you really focus on. As you do that, then, right, as you again and again activate the vibratory rate of joy from within, as you run that vibration, as you observe when you're in it, as you observe when you fall out of it, as you observe what traumas get activated within you that take you out of joy, as you do all of this work, that allows you then to clear deeper traumas, and that allows you then as well to start creating from that vibration. And here's how that creationary process takes shape and form outside of you. Things will start to seem to just happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
meaning you'll get a phone call, you'll bump into somebody, an opportunity will land in front of you, something, a door will open. It will look as if the door has opened. What we want you to connect that door opening with is your joy. Ah, look, maintaining the vibratory rate of joy opened that door for me. You don't need to know what the door is, what it's going to look like, or where the hell the door is going to take you, as long as you know when that door opens that you're feeling the frequency and vibration of joy as you connect with it, and then you walk through, right? And then the next door opens, and the next one, right? This is being very in the moment with your creationary process. It's releasing your need to know beforehand how it's going to look, where you're going to live, what you're going to be doing for work, all of it, right? It's releasing all of that and being very focused on the frequency of joy and the opportunities that land in front of you as a result of you maintaining that vibratory rate of joy, and then your willingness to take action on the opportunities, which is still a very third dimensional experience, right? It's not that you sit on your couch and like magic, your world around you completely alters and changes without you having to do anything. That's 5D reality, right? That's what happens in 5D. You hold the frequencies and vibrations and it all shifts in front of you, and then you're in a new experience like no time has passed at all. That's not yet where you're at. You still have to be action oriented, and there still is often a bit of a time lag or a time delay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like we still operate from a third dimensional level, but we allow the surprise aspects to happen in our life, because when we try to have all those detailed lists, it's because we know, like, if it's a relationship, we know that other people change and everyone changes. So we don't, when we try to have this list, we are trying to blocking them from changing and to keep just one shape or behavior throughout all their life. But
we're just limiting and controlling, basically, and all we're doing, actually what we're doing there in that instance, what you're describing there, I would call that operating from fear, right? If what we want to do is create this perfect specimen of a person to have a relationship, right, and then hold them in place and not want them to change at all, that is all fear-based, right? That is all just fear of protection and abandonment. And of course, then that's all we create, right? Then all we create is being rejected and abandoned and left. And then we go into victim programs and think, I suck at manifestation, right?
Right.
I've heard that so many times, right? I'm not a good manifester. Oh, no, we're all excellent, excellent manifestors 100% of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is the Pleiadians. That's something else to really look at. You know, and Nora and Monsef are laughing a lot as they're talking about all of this. And that is really essential as well, right? That as you look at what can feel like the density and the heaviness and the hardship and your own missteps, quote unquote missteps here, right? That you allow yourself to hold that fifth dimensional laughter, that you get the joke that it's also all made up, that you're already God, right? We have already been the highest vibrational beings we can be in this universe. You have already been that. You already know everything there is to know in the universe. The joke is that you've forgotten it, and then you believe that you've forgotten it, and every once in a while you've got to laugh about that. You've got to say, oh yeah, that's right. None of this is real. That's so funny, right?
Right.
And that also really, that is one of the things that has always helped me operate from joy. That's just something I started doing when I was young, you know, just kind of, that must have come from the Pleiadian activation in my genetics that happened when I was young. Just this ability in the midst of what would feel like just the worst and the hardest shit to start laughing, right? And get that joke on some level, like, yeah, this is my world. I'm making it, and I could change it in any moment, but right now I'm sticking to this story, because, boy, this drama is a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like not setting again like a goal to reach like to be 100% in aligned with our multidimensional level, but going there and it's like being charged there and then coming back to our human experience.
Yes.
And seeing it from different perspective, and then we get charged again and we come back to experience from a higher level, and it's always changing and changing, and experience it from different in different ways.
One of the ways I find this happening for me personally is, you know, my partner Jonathan and I have been together now for over 20 years, right? So to be able to be together, to be able to be with somebody for that amount of time, and we spend a lot of time together. We both are home all day long, every single day with each other, right? Because I work from home, he works from home, we're here all the time in a not very big house, although we each have our own rooms that we can go to. But so over the years, to be able to spend that much time together, we have to know how to be able to fight with one another, right? We've had to give ourselves permission to do that. And boy, in the past, we had some, you know, knockdown, drag out, screaming fights with each other as trauma was surfacing. And we were transmuting that trauma and projecting it onto each other and using the context of our relationship to do that deeper healing work. Now what'll happen is, you know, is we'll start to try to fight sometimes. Like one or the other of us will just start laughing in the middle of it, and we just stop, right? We just walk away from it. And I'm just using that as an example of leaving the high drama of the third dimensional reality, right? The density of that experience and being able to access the multidimensional perspective in the moment, right? Because in the moment, while fighting with him, if that's what I'm choosing to do about whatever, I can also remember, none of it's real. This is really probably about some, you know, past life fight we had or whatever, you know, like it's not really happening in this moment. Whatever's in this moment is tiny, and that allows that shift and that activation of joy in the moment, where then there's no need to resolve the fight, right? Like that's how I used to perceive conflict in the past. I used to see conflict as having a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? So the beginning was whatever the origin, whatever the issue was, the middle was the yelling and screaming. And then the end was, oh, we've fixed it, right? We've made it all better. It's never going to happen again. That's the way I used to perceive that conflict and fighting would work. From a multidimensional perspective, that is hilarious to me, right? Because there is no beginning, middle, or end. There is just everything all at once. And I can be in the middle of a fight with John and just decide in the moment, I'm done now, right? Like, I've done whatever I needed to do in this moment. I don't need to fix it. I don't need to be right. He doesn't need to be right. There's none of that any longer, right? There's just, the trauma surfaced. We aired it. We've loved it. And we'll go back to, eating dinner, doing the dishes, whatever the hell was happening prior to the origin of the fight.
Yeah, and this it brings more fun when you see it like in that way, and it's like the experience. It's not anymore like that heavy. It can happen, but it's still like we can change at any time and release that.
Yes.
So yeah, that's I really loved it. That's inspiring. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh yeah. I think we're gonna go to questions soon, right? To some callers. But I wanted to share one other thing that's definitely bringing me the ability to trigger and operate from more joy right now. So, you know, I started to access the Operate From Joy technology back in think it was the fall of 2015, right? I started to get language around it and my mind started to begin to understand it. And I started channeling about it and came up with that phrase, operate from joy, and started to use that as a hashtag and did a whole bunch of workshops on it in the beginning part of 2016, into the summer of 2016, all through the end of it, really, of 2016. But in the summer of 2016, we jumped timelines collectively. And we jumped to a timeline that enabled us to uncover a massive amount of darkness and begin to transmute that underlying darkness and trauma. And I found myself then in my channeling work, not really talking about the Operate from Joy technology as much or even sometimes at all, right? Throughout most of 2017 and all the way into the summer of 2018 and into much of 2018 even, right? Because we were so focused on all of this transmutation of trauma work that had become available to us based on what was happening in our bigger reality politically and the environment and our reaction to all of that. And then in the summer of 2018, so almost a year ago, right, back in August of 2018, collectively we jumped to a higher timeline. We jumped to the timeline we originally thought we would be heading into during the summer of 2016, although there were some adjustments made at that point and shifts based on what had transpired in our reality. So things don't look the way we thought they would look in 2019 when we first had created this higher timeline. And then I noticed all the Operate from Joy information and technology showing up again in my channeling work. And then as we headed here into 2019, suddenly all of this information about manifestation and operating as a creator. And it's not that the transmutation of trauma work has left, right, has gone anywhere. It's still there and it's still present in my work, but there's much more of a focus now, again, on operating as creators. So I'm just really aware of how operating from joy and the activation and healing of trauma go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other, right? You can't just desire to come from a place of joy at all times and not be willing to deal with, own, access your shadow and love the parts of yourself that are sitting in darkness. In fact, operating from joy enables all of us to do that work, that shadow work, more easily, more effortlessly, which then allows us to come back to joy at an even higher rate of vibration and frequency. So I've just been having that reflection lately and feeling excited that we're not just operating from joy again and pushing that work, but it's from a higher place now. I can feel that as I'm looking at it because collective consciousness has landed on a higher timeline in a higher vibration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Very inspiring. And so can we take questions from the
Absolutely.
Audience?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So yeah, everyone, if you are on the phone or the web call, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2 to talk to Nora. And if you are on the webcast page, you can type in your questions on the question box. All right, so we have Ezgi from Istanbul, Turkey, on the web call. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ezgi.
Hello. So thank you for the opportunity. So it's not really related to the subject that's being discussed, but there's something I experienced this morning, and I was hoping to get some insights from you. I was listening to one of your transmissions this morning about so-called abductions, genetic manipulation, and hybridization program. And while doing that, all of a sudden, I felt this very intense energetic response in my body, especially when you were talking about hybrids being incarnate on Earth at this time. So I was wondering if that response was related to my somehow connection to these events. And if so, can you tell me what really took place?
This is the Pleiadians. Ezgi, thank you for your question. So first, we want you to acknowledge and honor your own ability to access your records, right? So that's what was happening there for you when you had that energetic / emotional response to the information. You had that response because you were holding an experience within yourself that you knew was related to the content that was being discussed about abductions and genetic manipulation and the hybridization programs that have been ongoing on your world for as long as this world has existed. First, that's important to understand, right? That Earth is a giant genetic experiment of information from other beings from all over the universe that was brought here to interact with one another. So there was that resonance in you saying, okay, I remember that piece. And then there are your own personal pieces and experiences as well. And what you started to uncover for yourself there as you were hearing the word hybrid and feeling into that information is that you're a hybrid yourself. And that process started for you prior to you being born, right? So that process started with your mother and experiences that she had, and then you had experiences as well as a child with other beings and have participated in donating some of your genetic material to the hybridization programs as well. You know, so this is Nora here. That's a lot of information. I just want to ask how you're feeling, Ezgi, just check in with you.
I'm feeling okay. There's a little bit of sadness I'm feeling for some reason.
Yeah, that's okay. That's just honor that. Just feel it. Let yourself have that feeling completely without any judgment, right? You're just accessing definitely some of the experience you had, but you're also accessing a feeling of being separate from the beings that you would define as yours, as your hybrid children. Those beings are not here on planet Earth. So you're just feeling into that sadness.
So I've been dealing with this feeling of loneliness and sadness quite often. Is it related to that?
This is the Pleiadians. It's definitely related to that. And then it's primarily for you, what you're describing here, that sadness, is a feeling of separation or isolation. And there's the hybrid piece for you, and then there's also the bigger piece. All of humanity, every single one of you has this experience that you're describing, Ezgi. It's what allows you to take on the illusion that you're separate, right? Mm-hmm. So what you can do is you can use FOAL, that technology we've offered, where you feel and then observe, accept, and love yourself as you're having this feeling experience, which then allows you to activate your fifth dimensional consciousness from within, right? You ground that 5D energy all the way down into your feet, and then suddenly you can't be alone, right? You can't lie to yourself that you're alone because your 5D self can't ever feel alone or separate.
Never, ever.
Yes. Thank you, Ezgi.
Thank you so much. Blessings.
Thank you, Ezgi, for calling in. Beautiful. So let's now take a question from the webcast. We have Kimberly Paulson from Portland. Blessings to you and all sharing the space. How do I overcome my own seriousness and find more connection to joy? Example, I am so serious, I don't like crossing the street if it's not given the walk sign. This can be a problem with others, like my sister, who thinks I'm crazy anyway. I have had a few spontaneous moments of joy, which were the most amazing feelings in the world to me, but I have no clue why or how they happened. I am trying new things, but you seem to have the insights I am needing. Much thanks to you.
All right, this is the Pleiadians here. So what we feel you're really talking about here is fear, Kimberly. Right? What you're defining as seriousness, we would define as fear. So just take a breath, all of you, as we dive a bit deeper into this subject matter. So we'll talk to you specifically, Kimberly, but know that when we're in a group scenario like this, we like to give information that affects the most number of you as possible as well, that can help as many of you as at once. So fear is a byproduct of being enslaved in this universe. It's an absence of the recognition that you are light consciousness, that you are multidimensional, and an absence of the recognition that you are love incarnate, right? It's you take on a belief system that tells you you are less than, you are subordinate, you are powerless, and that the only way for you to be safe within that container is for you to follow the rules, right? For you to be a good little girl. So this is the only walking across the street when the light turns green. It's a following of the rules, right? A fear that if you go outside of the rules, quote unquote rules, right? In quotation marks, who made the rules, right? Who's in charge? If you're a creator being, who's in charge, right? If you're a creator being, you're in charge. If someone else made the rules, you're not a creator being, right? Now, yes, there's collective creation. There are things that you put in place for yourself within third dimensional reality that the collective agrees to, that appear to keep you safe. However, most of those things, most 99.9% of them, you can find the origins in enslavement. It's a big lie on your world, right? That the rules are here to keep you safe. That's bullshit from our perspective. The rules, by and large, were created to keep you all enslaved, to keep you in a state of powerlessness, to keep you from remembering that you were sovereign. Now, it was also supposed to be that way, right? So we don't want you all to go into victimhood here and say, God damn it, well, there are all these rules and we're slaves and that sucks. No, that's not really the truth of it. The truth of it is there was a shift in power that occurred and enslavement contracts were created, and any of you who incarnated here at any time into the enslavement game did so as a sovereign being initially, right? You were sovereign saying, sure, I'll pretend to be a slave, right? Or I'll pretend to be a slave owner or a slaver within the game. And you all have been both. You've been both enslaved and the slave owner, right? You've played both sides of it. At the end of 2012, those enslavement contracts expired, launching you into your ability to operate as whole beings, as sovereign, and releasing those who had the assumption of power from assuming that power. That doesn't mean they're not still trying to vie for it. Of course they are, right? Otherwise you would have seen massive physical change on your world in an instant. That's not what happened. It's not like the powers that were said, oh, the enslavement contracts expired. Fine, we'll just pack it up and go home, right? And go sit on the beach or whatever. No, they said, nah, we're not giving up our power. We're still going to fight for it. So that fight for power is ongoing in your reality. It's just that it's no longer assumed they're going to have it. They're going to win. We don't really know how this is all going to play out in the short term here on planet Earth, as so many now are vying for power, including every single one of you. Each one of you that perceives yourselves to be just a regular human. Yeah, there's nothing regular about you, and there's nothing different any longer from you and those who appear to hold more power and have appeared to hold more power. Kimberly, that's important for you. There's nothing different any longer from you and those who have appeared to be much more powerful around you or who continue to appear that way. Knowing that and working with the fear that gets activated in you when you start to think about breaking the rules, going outside of the box and starting to see the rules themselves as meaningless, that's going to enable you then to start to lighten up in that way that you desire. The other thing that always helps all of you lighten up and begin to operate from joy is the visceral accessing of your higher self from within your own third dimensional chakra system. And that's where we can see you've got some work to do here. You're identifying your higher self as a being that exists above you or outside of you. And it's time for you to start acknowledging, Kimberly, that you already are your higher self, right? That the energy of that 5D version of you exists from within. Well, they could go on and on about all of this for hours, you know. It's a big topic. Thank you for the question, yeah. Kimberly. Yeah. It's funny, we don't talk about fear much any longer. I used to find, you know, certainly when I started channeling, you know, fear was discussed all the time by the Pleiadians. And what I'm aware of as they were coming through and talking about it today with Kimberly is the radical reduction of fear on this world, which is very interesting because it doesn't look that way. You know, if you listen to the media or the news or even when you hear people talk, right, like the fear of government, it's not nearly as visceral as it used to be. I can feel it as we're talking about it today. It's become this theoretical thing. It doesn't, there's not a lot of oomph to it any longer. That's exciting to feel.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy that Kimberly brought that because like this subject, like fear of not following the rules, it's maybe something that we all experience in different ways. So thank you. Thank you so much, Kimberly, for sharing your experience. And also thank you so much, Nora, for your guidance.
Of course.
We have a caller from Ketcham. Phone number ending with 0469. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What is your name?
Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Nora, I've listened to you for many years now on various avenues, and I've always been inspired and intrigued by the information and the messages that you bring in. They are so profound, and you stay so true to your course, and I just want to make sure I mention that to you. I've never spoken with you before, and I've just always been very much I'm going to stay home. I'm going to listen to this call because I really want to hear what Nora has to say because you always bring in incredible information.
Let me say thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you very much for that feedback. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you. And I'm excited that you're here to ask a question as well. So how can we help you today?
Well, I usually ask broad questions, but this one happens to be a little self-centered. I apologize in advance, but hopefully it'll help others. But I've had a very strong familial course in my life for the last 30 years, and everybody's died and whatnot. And everybody was taken. My parents were taken to Italy by my sister and cut off from me, and everybody's died. And now I've been it's been brought to me in journeying, shamanic journeying, that there's background work happening and there's a surprise for you. And lo and behold, a week ago, I got a phone call from a girlfriend inviting me to stay at this gorgeous villa in Tuscany, about a half an hour from my sister's home. So I'm going to Italy, and I'm excited about that, but it's very twofold. And the energy and the power that's been coming through for me the last 2 weeks has been so strong, it's taken me down, and I've been very tired and exhausted, and I don't really necessarily have fear over it, but I definitely relate to the fear aspect of life and the control it's had on a lot of us. But my question is, you know, I'm not really sure how to approach this. You know, do I approach my brother-in-law? I really want the closure, even though I know
this is the Pleiadians. Let us jump in here, Elizabeth.
Please.
So the being that you need closure with is yourself. Just like Nora was saying earlier when she's talking about conflict, right, with her husband, right? It's not about resolving it with the other person. It's about the experience you're having within yourself. And it's always going to be you. It's always going to come back to you, right? It's always about you, all of you. It's funny that you said your question was self-centered and self-serving in some way. It's really not, actually. You're talking about completely about the human experience here. Accessing and integrating the truth that you are sovereign, meaning a creator being 100% of the time, never a victim of anyone else's actions or choices, always and only experiencing exactly what it is you need to experience based on what it is you wanted for yourself in this incarnation and based on the underlying traumas that you're still in the process of transmuting due to other lifetimes. So what you are dealing with in large part here are abuses of power, issues around abuse of power, seeming to put you in the victim role in this life as Elizabeth, relating to the country of Italy. So what you've got there in your records is a lifetime in Italy, where you were part of an extremely wealthy dynasty.
Yeah.
And absolutely abused your power in that incarnation. You didn't do it because you were a bad person, right? That's not typically where, it's not actually ever the origins of abuses of power. The origins of abuse of power can always be found in unhealed trauma, right? So when you see the power abusers on your world, they typically hold the bodies of grown-up men and women doing terrible things. What you forget is sitting back there on their timeline are little boys and little girls experiencing abuse and trauma that never gets healed. So unhealed, untransmuted trauma then throws you into the victim-perpetrator roles, and you ping-pong back and forth from victim to perpetrator. So this is what you're in the process of working out within yourself, Elizabeth. It's coming to terms with the underlying untransmuted trauma from that lifetime in Italy, where as a little boy in that life, you were molested, you were sexually abused, and that abuse was ongoing and never tended to and caused you to disassociate at times emotionally and created an adult version of you in that lifetime who at times operated like a sociopath in parts and only because you had been traumatized as a little boy. So when you land in Italy, feelings may come up in you and you may want to assign them to your family in this life. We would say instead, see how your family in this life is helping you source this ancient trauma inside of you. Do your inner work and then have fun. Have as much fun as you possibly can on this gift of an adventure.
Okay.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Nora. I appreciate it so much. So much clarity. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth, for calling in. So, yeah, thank you so much, Nora, for the guidance. We have a question from Claire from San Diego. In my own clearing work, I kept running across the spirits of a past life of mine, which seemed to be a sphinx. My question, is this the truth? And if so, is it a personal experience or something that is in the genetic pool of all of us? Secondly, is it necessary to heal all of our past lives before we can completely free of their unresolved trauma? Or is there a way to keep their baggage out of our lives?
All right, this is the Pleiadians here. So we're going to answer the second part first. Part of the integration and reascension experience is to clear all untransmitted traumas from all lifetimes anywhere. Now, that doesn't mean clear all trauma from all lifetimes that you've had, right? Because more often than not, the trauma you experienced in other lives, you tended to in those lifetimes. All you're taking care of today in this moment are the pieces that for one reason or another you could not clear up while still in that incarnation or in a following incarnation, in another incarnation, right? Because this is a continuum of experience that you're having. So there's not only you dealing with the collective trauma of your experiences and the need to transmute trauma from other lifetimes. Well, there are other aspects of you on other timelines doing the same thing that weren't also focused consciously on integration and reascension. That's the difference in this incarnation. You get to consciously focus on integration and reascension and remember, this is also shit from another life, right? In the other life, when you were dealing with that backlog of untransmitted trauma, you would just feel it as more trauma in that life and tend to it that way. So, yes, ultimately, it is necessary for all of that untransmitted trauma to be cleared. And yet, it is not something that you need to track consciously, right? So we don't want you to gauge it, right? We don't want you to look at yourself and say, how much of a percentage of my untransmitted trauma have I tended to, right? I have this image, this is more of like a dial, right? Like I'm 90% clear of untransmitted trauma, right? We don't want you to do that. We don't want you to go there. We don't want you to think about it. We want you to be very in the moment and feel your way through your moments, right? When that trauma, wherever it comes from, gets activated, that you run the process of full or something else that works for you, right? So full is feel, observe, accept, and love yourself in the moment of experiencing the trauma without needing the story, right? You also don't have to track all the lifetimes, meaning you don't have to know all the stories. You can't possibly know all the stories. And then, yes, you're also doing collective trauma transmutation work, meaning other aspects of your oversoul that are incarnate elsewhere on other timelines that you're engaging with and interacting with. You can feel those traumas as if they're your own personally. So they're not technically a quote unquote past life of yours, and yet they are technically your experience as you connect with the same oversoul being. So you can tend to that trauma as well. And you can't possibly access consciously all of the memories of all of those experiences or the records, many of which come from lifetimes that look nothing like what life looks like on this world itself, because you're tending to all third dimensional untransmitted trauma, not just trauma specific to planet Earth. All right, as far as your first question, yes, that's yours, that's your record, that's your experience. We do feel there's some underlying trauma there. So what's important is that you allow that clearing of that underlying trauma to occur without the fear that you're going to lose something. So this often happens when there's a past life bleed through occurring, right? So you have this Sphinx you bleeding through into this life. And it's bleeding through because there's untransmitted trauma. Now, the fear is that if you release it completely, you're going to lose your connection to this magnificent aspect of yourself and lose any power that version of you might be giving you. That's not actually true. What happens is you're just running the bleed through, and the trauma is mostly what's inhibiting you, Claire, from having the life you want. So you clear the trauma, the past life version clears, goes back, reintegrates with the Oversoul, then you, Claire, suddenly get access to all the records stored within the consciousness of that being, that version of you, which then does empower you, which does offer you more energy, more of that magnificence. Okay, I think we got to all of Claire's questions there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Nora. And also thank you, Claire, for your question. Okay, let's take one more from Ken from Wahiawa. Aloha, Nora. I wonder how to address deeper fear that has come up in recent months that does not seem to have a particular source. It could be some subconscious or collective, but in any case, I get temporary relief. It seems persistent even as I implement all the tools I know.
Yeah, this is the Pleiadians here. So what we can see is that you need to allow yourself to have a full visceral experience of the fear, Ken. What we can see happening for you is, and this is when knowing a lot spiritually sometimes gets in your way, all of you, right? Because you all believe on some level that you're not supposed to be feeling fear. The fear is bad. The fear is the thing that's going to screw up your manifestation process more than anything and disable you from being sovereign. And yes, if you're running underlying fears, those underlying fears, they're going to affect and inhibit you from operating as powerfully as you can be. And yet, if you have a fear to feel, the only way to fully feel it and then transmute it and clear it is to fully feel it, right? This is Nora here. So for you, Ken, and I think we all do this, right? We start to get a sense of it, right, in ourselves. Like, oh, God, there's that feeling. Okay, I'm going to work with it, and I'm going to keep it right here. I'm going to try to contain it, work with it, clear it. And there's a step being missed, and that's the real feeling of it and the feeling of the trauma associated with it, because fear is a manifestation, is a result of trauma, of unhealed trauma. Dive into the fear and find the suffering, the sadness, the loss, the hurt, the shit that sits underneath the fear. You want to dive into it and find what sits below. That's what really needs clearing, is the hurt, the pain. As that hurt and pain then transmutes, due to you then using all the tools that you have available to you, Ken, what you find sitting below that is the beauty of your light. Yes, this is the Pleiadians. Remember that, right? Fear, trauma, the pain, the darkness is a cover for your light. It's not really that you want to get rid of it. It's that you want to dive into it and go below it, go beneath it, to find the truth of your own brilliance underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Very beautiful. Thank you so much, Nora and Pleiadians. And thank you, Ken, for your question.
Yeah.
Just want to share a feedback from Kelly from Nanaimo. Every single word spoken today has been a golden nugget of information. I have laughed and cried and felt into each experience so completely. Thank you for all.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kali. And yeah, Nora, thank you so much. Yeah, it was really such a joy to have you with us today. I really love interacting with you and doing the energy that you bring. It's how to say, it's really, we feel the high energy that you embody, and also like the clarity and messages that you share. It's really so inspiring. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much, Monsef, for having me on again and creating this platform. And thank you to all of you who are collaborating with us and collectively creating here with us by tuning in. Just by tuning in, right? You're helping to make this happen, and then your questions and your presence is all just amazing. This is the Pleiadians. Take a breath, all of you. Just inhale and exhale gently into your bodies. And feel yourself as the love that you are as you breathe. You are love incarnate. This is your true value. You are valuable because you are, because you exist. Feel that land in your bodies, that truth. This also enables you more to activate as sovereign and operate from joy, viscerally understanding yourself, your value as you are valuable simply because you are, because you exist. To disconnect ideas around your worth based on your productivity, right? That's a third dimensional enslavement program firmly ingrained in all of you still. What you do is just what you're doing. It's how you're spending your time. Who you are is love incarnate, and that is your inherent value. We love you. We love you. We love you. We are always with you, always available to you. Yes, this is Nora. I love you all too. Monsef, thank you again so much for having me on today. I love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sri Nora. Really, really, very happy and honored to have you here with us. So very grateful to you and all the time you spent with us. And yeah, so everyone, also thank you so much for being here, for sharing with us this space and co-creating with us these experiences. So thank you so much. Thank you for your great questions, really amazing ones. I'm sending you so much love, and I will see you on the next call. Bye-bye, everyone. If you'd like to listen to live episodes and interact with our speakers, you can go to yourdivineuniqueness.com, your divine, divine, uniqueness, uniqueness.com.